Well, we're going to take a break from the book of Colossians this morning. We will be in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. And it's a wonderful passage, as John mentioned earlier. It's a passage about two people who have a desire to meet Jesus. And as we unfold this, I think you'll see the differences. But one wants to meet Jesus in order to test him and keep him at arm's length. And the other wants to meet Jesus to love him and worship at his feet. And again, I think it's one of the most beautiful passages that we find in Scripture. So if you've had a chance to turn there, I'm going to read verses 36 to the end. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." A beautiful passage. I don't know if you are one of those ones who just loves this passage because it speaks to your heart and soul so directly. There's so much here about love and forgiveness that I think that's why this passage is so endearing to us as it shows the passion and forgiveness of our Lord. But I want to start. We're going to go through it line by line. And there's a lot of application here. And the application is self-evident. I'm not going to have to point out to you this is the application. But as we walk through this, just pay attention to the application that these passages have for us. So we start with the invitation. There is a Pharisee who wants to invite Jesus to dinner, so he does. And the purpose of inviting Jesus to dinner, as I said earlier, was to test Jesus, was to sift him. The Pharisees, as we know, were not number one on Jesus' list of popular people. He called them a brood of vipers, dead men's bones. He called them fools, blind guides. So they were not very endeared toward Jesus because he was very frank with what he thought of them. The unfortunate thing, though, for the Pharisees was that they were popular with the blue-collar people of Israel. They are the ones who gave the Pharisees their popularity. The Sadducees were popular among the aristocracy, the wealthy. So the Pharisees were concerned that Jesus' message, the message of Jesus Christ, was impacting the common people and causing them to want to follow Jesus. So the Pharisees became alarmed. This is our power base. We have to keep an eye on this man. And as we know in the passages just prior to this, they rejected John's baptism and he rejected them. He said they were not willing to comport to the will of God. So you have this tension between the Pharisees and Jesus right off the bat. So Simon wants him to come to dinner and he wants to challenge him. He wants to sift him. He wants to see if this man's really a prophet. And in fact, he probably wants to prove that this man is not a prophet. So his intention of asking him to dinner is, again, not to love him, not to follow him, not because he thinks his teaching has something for him, but he wants to keep him at a distance and judge him, and probably turn the people against him when Simon is able to prove that Jesus is not a prophet or the Messiah. So that's one person. The other person who wants to meet Jesus is the woman. She is a sinner. Now, it doesn't say that she was a prostitute, but when the term "the woman was a sinner" is used at this period of time, it generally means that she was a prostitute. In this town, in this city, she was known to be a prostitute, and she was of the class of people who no one had anything to do with. A Pharisee would not even look at such a woman. Pharisees usually didn't even look at the common woman, let alone a sinful woman. So this woman was an outcast of society. She would probably actually not even be involved in a lot of the social activities of the community. The men would only treat her like a person who had a commodity, which they would buy, and the women would hate her because of what she did with the men. So she would not be well loved. She would not be well received. She was probably a very, very, very lonely person in this community. But this woman wanted to meet Jesus. Why? Well, it says, "Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She desired to be near Jesus Christ." And I want to point out something here. She probably heard the message of Jesus Christ prior to understanding that he was coming to dinner at the Pharisee's house. Jesus had been preaching in the city for some time, and she knew the message that Jesus Christ was preaching was a message of forgiveness, a message of forgiveness for the very people that the Pharisees despised, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. She heard this message, and it resonated with her. And she wanted to go see this man who was preaching this good news, preaching this message of God that the people had not heard for quite a while. So she wanted to meet him. I talked about application. One of the applications here, imagine this woman who is an outcast of society. Imagine the thought process in her head of going to the house of a Pharisee to listen to someone who they thought might have been a prophet. Do you sense the boldness there of this woman? "I don't care what people think," she's saying. "I don't care if everyone judges me. I am going to go to the house of this Pharisee, and I am going to see and hear this person, this prophet of God, who is proclaiming good news for people like me." Sometimes, to get close to Jesus, we have to do what? Get out of our comfort zone. This woman clearly did that. Another thing I want to point out here is, it wasn't by accident that she got right up next to Jesus, was it? That was her intention all along. Her intention all along was to say, "I don't care what these people think of me, I'm bringing my fragrant oil." Why? Because she had every intention of getting to the front of the crowd and anointing Jesus. She didn't care what anybody thought. It wasn't about what anybody thought. It was about her getting close to Jesus, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. She stood at his feet, behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, you may like myself, sometimes I read too much into these verses, and I say to myself, how could she stand and wash his feet? Did you ever think about that? How could she be standing and why? I know. Why would I even think about that when I'm reading such a touching story? But just for your education and edification, here is how you dine during this period of time when you're the guest in someone's home. Just take a look at that picture. You see, in the middle of the dining area is the table with the food on it. And around the table are what you could call couches or tables. And the guest of honor would lie upon the highest table. And then the host would lie on the next table and so on. And they would round the table as they were lying down with their heads toward the food. And their feet were toward the back. The interesting thing about this was at this time, these dinners, these high-profile dinners with the Pharisees, rabbis, famous teachers, they were often forms of entertainment. The community was invited to gather around these people who were dining, lying down, reclining at the table, and they would listen to the interaction. It was a time for them to learn. It was something for them to do. They would hear the latest prophet or hear the latest teacher or hear the latest things, and it would be somewhat of a form of entertainment for them. So this woman, this sinful woman, pushed through the crowd. Jesus was probably laying there at the end, and she came to his feet. And as she came to his feet, the Bible says that literally she just started weeping. She wept. She uncontrollably wept. Why? Why did this woman uncontrollably weep at the feet of Jesus? Well, Isaiah 52:7 says that, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation." The feet of Jesus to this woman brought good news. The feet of Jesus to this woman is where she wanted to be, because that is where she knew that she could find peace with God. Jesus brought good tidings for this woman. This woman who only knew coldness of society, who only knew being an outcast of society, who never connected with anybody, who never felt the love of fellowship with the Jewish community because of who she was. She was a sinner. At Jesus' feet, she found peace because he proclaimed to her a message of salvation and acceptance and of repentance and of joy. So when she got to the master's feet, all she could think to do was weep. A broken heart is the only one that can be filled with the master's love. And her heart was utterly broken. And from that point, she takes the time. She sees that his feet had not been washed by Simon or one of Simon's servants. So the tears that she shed, she allows them to wash his feet and the mud and the mixture as she cries upon his feet, because Simon didn't have the courtesy to welcome Jesus by doing the customary thing of washing the feet. And she sees that she wet his feet and she dries them with her tears. And then she anoints these holy feet that carry the good news with perfume, because they are so beautiful to her. They are so beautiful to her. Blessed are the feet of him who brings good news. Now, when the Pharisee saw this, he immediately judged Jesus, because that's why he was there, keeping Jesus at an arm's length. He wasn't here to worship at the feet of Jesus. He was here to test this man, to try this man. So Simon thinks to himself, well, if this man knew what kind of woman she was, he would not even let her near him. And here he is letting her touch his feet and letting her touch him with her hair, letting her kiss his feet and anoint him with perfume. Simon is so steeped in religion that he can't see that the reason Jesus came was for one such as this woman. Jesus came for the sinners. Jesus came for the downtrodden. Jesus came for the poor, the weak, the meek, the lonely, the sinner who needed to be loved and find repentance. But Simon, he was a leader of the religion of the day. He was a man of faith, a man of a religion that taught the only way you can get to God is by following a list of do's and don'ts. And one of the things you didn't do was associate with a woman of this kind. How could you? They are so beneath us as religious leaders. Don't you know, Jesus, that this woman sleeps around? She's sinful. What have we, the religious leaders, have to do with her? So Simon drew the conclusion, this man can't be a religious leader. This man can't be a prophet. But there's a difference between religion and Jesus, isn't there? There's a difference between religion, a list of do's and don'ts, where we judge people based upon the appearance of who they are rather than looking at the heart. There's a difference between religion and Jesus Christ. This woman saw Jesus Christ as a savior. Simon saw him as a cop-out, one who knew nothing about true religion. This man couldn't be a prophet. He's letting this sinner get close to him and touch him. Simon didn't say that out loud. Simon thought that in his head. So Jesus answered him. Jesus is God. He knew what Simon was thinking. He knew what Simon said in his head. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Kind of a cocky answer. Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, say it. Say what you have to say. Simon's already drew the conclusion that this man's not a prophet. Go ahead, prophet. Tell me what you have to say. Educate me. What do you got for me? And Jesus tells him a story. And the story is designed to turn the tables on Simon and to make Simon think a little bit. Jesus says, Simon, there was a certain man who was a creditor, and two men owed him different sums of money. One owed him $50, the other owed him $50,000. And neither of them had the ability to pay. Neither the man who owed $50 or $50,000 had the ability to pay. So the creditor called them and said, hey, look, I'm forgiving both of you. I'm forgiving both of you. Walk away. Neither of you owes me anything. You don't owe me $50. You don't owe me $50,000. And Jesus said, tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. You have rightly judged. An indictment against Simon the Pharisee. Jesus is indicting Simon the Pharisee. Because when you get to the bottom line here, this woman needed forgiveness, and her sins were many. Jesus already said that. She owed a debt that she couldn't pay. But the point that Jesus is making here to Simon is that, Simon, you don't know it, but your debt is greater than this woman, because this woman knows who to come to for salvation. But Simon, you don't even think that you need salvation. You think you are so righteous and pure and holy. Simon, you don't even know that you are in need of salvation, and it's you who owe the $50,000. She who owes the $50,000, because she knows at whose feet to stand. The very one you're keeping at arm's length. So here was a lesson for Simon. Simon, you owe more. You just don't know it. And I love this part. Because Simon didn't see this woman as someone who was worth the time of day. Didn't see her as worth the dust on his feet. But Jesus says to Simon, he turns to the woman and says, Simon, do you see this woman? Wow. He says to Simon, do you see this woman? Why does he say that to Simon? He's teaching Simon a lesson here. He's saying, Simon, do you even see this woman that is right in front of us, who's crying out for salvation, who's crying out for forgiveness? Simon, do you even see her? And the answer is no. Simon didn't see this woman. This woman had no value to Simon. She had no worth to Simon. But she had value and worth to who? Jesus. Jesus looked at her and said, Simon, do you see her? Do you see this woman? She's a soul. She's a human being. She's not trash. She's not garbage. She's worthy to be at my feet, Simon. And if you knew what true religion was, you would know this, teacher of the law. You would know this. You would know that's why the Messiah comes. He goes on with the lesson. Simon, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. It was traditional to do that, to wash the feet. It was a sign of welcoming someone into your home. Another indication here that Simon was not welcoming Jesus Christ. Arm's length, testing him. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. This woman had nothing to offer Christ, nothing at all, but the hair on her head and the tears from her eyes and the kisses from her lips. And with those things, he validated this woman. He said, she has value beyond your consideration, Simon. These things that she does for me, pours her heart out for me, are more, Simon, than you could do by obeying 1,000 laws. You have no idea what worth she has to me. Simon, do you see this woman? I do. And I love the way she loves me. And he validates her and loves her. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, Simon. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He's done teaching Simon. Whether Simon's eyes will be opened or not to what true faith is, what true religion is, we don't know. Perhaps we know some of the Pharisees did come to Jesus, Nicodemus being one. But his focus now is on the woman. And he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. And the crowd murmurs, who is he to forgive sins? Well, he's the Messiah. You just don't know it yet. But an important thing he says to this woman, he says, go in peace. Now, there's two ways you can mean that. You could say, Jesus could be saying, go and live a peaceful life. Go in peace. May the wind be at your back as you go from this house. Go in peace. But that's not what the Greek word here is. The Greek word here is the idea of now, woman, go in a state of being in peace with God. Leave here, having poured yourself out at my feet, having been forgiven by me, you can now go living in a state of peace and reconciliation with your God. And that is how, woman, I want you to leave. I want you to leave this place knowing that you have been reconciled to God and that life that you lived is to be lived no more. That life that you lived of prostitution is no longer fitting for a woman who has been granted peace between herself and God. And he says, go in that state. Go in that state of forgiveness and reconciliation. The message is simple to us this morning. The message is very clear to us this morning. Where is Jesus Christ in regards to us, and where are we in regards to him? Are we as believers keeping Jesus Christ at arm's length? Have we invited him to dine in our home, yet we aren't at his feet with broken hearts? Have we invited him to come into our sphere, but yet we keep him on the outside, we keep him on the periphery, not being at his feet, not having this idea that we have been forgiven beyond belief, beyond measure? Because if we had the idea of how much we were forgiven, we would be with this woman, weeping at his feet, anointing him with oil, and saying, Master, now what shall I do? Go in peace. Perhaps you have Jesus at an arm's length. If you do, be at his feet. Understand who you are. Understand and think back to when you first came to him. And you realize the depths of the forgiveness that were poured out on you. And remember the reaction that inspired in you. Wow, I have been forgiven so much. Therefore, I will go in a state of reconciliation. And I will tell others about this Christ, this new way of religion, this Christ who teaches us to love sinners and who teaches us to spread the good news of God, to spread the good news of peace, because at his feet is the only place that we can find peace and reconciliation and love, only at his feet. And if you are an unbeliever this morning, the message is clear to you that if you're looking for salvation through religion, you will not find it. You will not find it. If you're looking through salvation through doing a list of do's and don'ts, and if you think that you're good enough because you don't murder, you don't steal, and you don't chew gum, and you don't dance, if you think that's going to get you to heaven, think again. That doesn't save. That doesn't save you. The only thing that saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Only thing that saves is his life, his righteousness being imparted and placed upon you, and the only place you can get that is where? At his feet, whether it be at a dinner table or at his feet upon the cross. That is the only place you can find salvation, is at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it's when we leave the feet of Jesus Christ that we get off track and we start to lose our way. And we forget how much we've been loved and how much we then ought to love. Because if it's not about love, what is it about? If it's not about the love of Christ, what is it about? Jesus said to her, go in peace. Be reconciled to God and live a life at his feet. Just pray with me. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. Father, we thank you that we are invited to come and worship at your feet, the feet that bring good news. Father, may we never leave that place of obedience, of brokenness, of faith, that place of love that is at the feet of our King and our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.